Bluecoat Woolerton presents Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, the tale of a miserly old man who comes to realise the true spirit of Christmas. When this story first appeared over 175 years ago, few observed Christmas other than at church, few employers gave workers off for the holiday, and the jolly country celebrations of England's past were largely forgotten in the cities. But this little story helped transform Christmas from a staid religious holiday into the joyous season of faith, feasting and goodwill it is to this very day. Dickens' Ghost Story of Christmas opens in London on a cold, snowy December 24th in the year 1843.
Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. Ebenezer Scrooge was a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, a hard-hearted miser, secret and self-contained, and solitary as an oyster, a morose and lonely man who consorted with nobody but himself. On this evening, the office of Scrooge Marley was shrouded in cold, bleak, biting weather, but external heat and cold had little influence on Scrooge. No warmth could warm, no wintry weather could chill him, no wind that blew was bitterer than he.
Merry Christmas! Humbug! Be gone, you miserable little beggars! Take your infernal Christmas carols and get away from my door!
Sorry, sir. Merry Christmas, though, sir.
Bah! And you, nephew, what right have you to be merry? You're poor enough. Merry Christmas! Bah, humbug!
Christmas? A humbug, uncle? You don't mean that, I'm sure. What right have you to be dismal about Christmas? You're rich enough. Don't be cross, uncle.
What else can I be, Fred, when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas! If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Keep Christmas in your own way, nephew, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it, uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone, then. Much good it may do you. Much good it ever has done you.
But Christmas time is a good time, uncle. A kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time, when men and women open their shut up hearts freely and think of others as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. Therefore, uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good, and I say God bless it.
God bless Christmas.
You there, Bob Cratchit. Let me hear another sound from you, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. Now return to those letters, hmm?
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us for Christmas dinner tomorrow. Helen would love to meet you.
Helen? Oh, yes. Your wife. Why did you get married, Fred?
Because I fell in love, Uncle.
Because you fell in love? With a woman as penniless as yourself, Fred. Oh, good afternoon.
But you never visited before my marriage. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you.
Very well. Good afternoon.
Oh, I'll keep my Christmas humour to the last. So, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon!
And Happy New Year.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cratchit. See my nephew out.
This way, Mr. Fred, and
a Merry Christmas to you too, sir.
And to you and your family, Bob. How is Mrs. Cratchit and the little Cratchits, especially your youngest, the lame boy?
Tim, sir. Tiny Tim. He's getting better. Yes, thank you for asking. Happy Christmas to you.
My clerk, with 15 shillings a week, a wife and family, talking about a Merry Christmas. Ah, oh, retire to Bedlam.
Good to see you, mister.
Good day, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge and Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley, my partner, has been dead these 7 years. In fact, he died 7 years ago this very night. I am Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ah, well, at this festive season, Mr. Scrooge, we seek charity for the poor and destitute.
You see, many further in want are common necessaries. Hundreds of further in want are common comforts, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
The treadmill and poor law are in full vigour, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, I was afraid that someone had stopped them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it.
Well, they scarcely furnish Christian cheer, Mr. Scrooge. A few of us wished to buy the poor some meat and drink, and means of warmth. We do so now, because it is a time when want is keenly felt, and abundance rejoices. So, what should I put you down for?
Nothing!
Ah, you wish to be anonymous, sir.
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help support the prisons and workhouses. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Oh, but many can't go there.
Yes, many would rather die.
If they would rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
I see. So the firm of Scrooge and Molly declines, Gregor.
It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good evening, then.
Very well. You have made your views quite clear. Good evening to you, sir.
Mr. Scrooge, it's 7 o'clock, sir, and it is Christmas Eve.
So? Ugh, I suppose you want all day tomorrow, Mr. Cratchit.
Quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair. If I were to dock you half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'll be bound, and yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
It is but once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But, I suppose you must have the whole day. Well, be it over earlier the next morning, Mr. Cratchit.
I will, sir. Thank you, sir. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Indeed. Bah!
Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern, and walked home through the rolling fog and bitter cold. He silently passed the urchin crowds, round the fires in the streets, trying to keep warm. The icy Scrooge trudged along through the dark streets, but just as he reached the door of his dismal house, he thought he heard something calling.
Ebenezer Scrooge! Ebenezer Scrooge!
It was the voice of his long-dead partner, Jacob Marley, whose ghostly face appeared on the door knocker. Scrooge hurried inside, closed the door and locked himself in. He double-locked himself in. He checked the sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa, nobody under the bed, and nobody in the closet. Secured against surprise, Scrooge put on his dressing gown and nightcap and sat down before the fire to take his gruel. When, suddenly,
what is it? Every bell in that house must be ringing. What in the world? Nonsense. Humbug. It's all humbug. I had... Wait, what's that? Someone's in the cellar. The door's locked. Double locked. Something is coming. Up the stairs. It's closer. It's outside my door. It's It's humbug. I won't believe it. Hum!
Scrooge! Ebenezer Scrooge!
Ah! How now? What do you want with me? Who are you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. You don't believe in me, Scrooge. Why do you doubt your senses?
A disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You're not a ghost. You're just a bit of bad beef, a blot of mustard, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more gravy than of grave about you. Whatever you are, humbug, I tell you, hum! Ah! Mercy, I believe you. I believe you, I must. Oh, dreadful apparition, why do you trouble me? Why do spirits walk the earth? Why come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death, doomed to wander the world and witness what it cannot share but might have shared, and turn to happiness.
You are fettered, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life, link by link, yard by yard. I'm chained by cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers. Witness the weight and length of strong chain you bear yourself, Scrooge. It is a ponderous chain.
I see no chain.
You shall on the day of your death. Mark me. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of a money-changing home. Now I am doomed to wander without rest or peace. No regret can make amends for one life's opportunity misused.
But you're always a good man of business.
Business? Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. Oh, and it is at this time of the rolling year that I suffer most.
I'm sorry for you, Jacob. Is there anything I can do?
For me, it is too late, but I have come to warn you of a hope and chance of escaping my fate. You will be haunted by three spirits. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one, the second the next night at the same hour, the third upon the next night at the last stroke of 12. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Ebenezer, look out this window. That poor woman and her infant huddled on the doorstep below. Look that you may see for your own sake.
Ghosts, phantoms, hundreds, chained. Just like yourself. They surround the woman, but they're not haunting her. They're pleading. Can't she see them? Their anguish? Why do these ghosts lament, Jacob? Why do they wail?
They seek to aid her. They seek to do good in human matters, but have lost their power forever. They wail in unceasing torture and remorse. Beware this cruel feat, Ebenezer. Beware. Beware. Beware.
Scrooge awoke. He was lying in his bed, still in his robe. Was Marley's visit a dream or not? He decided it was a dream and nothing more. But suddenly, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside and Scrooge found himself face to face with an unearthly visitor who drew them. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child, as like an old man.
Ebenezer Scrooge!
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
Your past. I come for your welfare. Rise, Scrooge, and walk with me.
What? Out of the window? But I'm mortal and liable to fall.
Be able to touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand. A little market town appeared in the distance, with its bridge, its church, and winding river. It was a clear, cold winter day, with fresh snow upon the ground.
Do you recognize this place, Scrooge?
Good heavens! I was bred in this place! I was a boy here! In that coach going by, my schoolmates, Edward and John. They're on the Norfolk coach, taking them home for the Christmas holiday. Hello, Johnny! Plorn! It's me, Ebenezer!
Wait! These are what shadows of a thing that have been. They have no consciousness of us. Come!
Why? It's my old schoolhouse!
Alas, it wasn't a place of learning. More like a prison.
On Christmas Eve, the school is not quite deserted. A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is still left there still. A lonely boy, reading beside a field with fire. Do you know him?
Yes, I know him. I am that child alone. My only companions, my books. Ali Baba, Robinson Crusoe. Oh, poor boy. Oh, I wish, but it's too late now.
What is the matter, Scrooge?
Oh, nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Let us see another Christmas come.
Why, it's me! Years later, but still away at this dismal school on Christmas.
Ebenezer! Ebenezer!
It's Fan! My sister! My beloved Fan!
Dear, dear brother, I've come to bring you home. Yes, home. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be. That home's like heaven. We're to be together all Christmas long and have the merriest time in the world. Come with me. Let us go, Ebby. This way.
Your sister was always a delicate creature. Human breath might have been withered. But she had a large heart. She died a woman, but has, as I think, children. No?
One child. My nephew, Fred. Oh, how he does resemble his mother.
Come to another Christmas past. A celebration.
Fezziwig's warehouse? I apprenticed here. Why, it's old Fezziwig. Bless his heart. Is Fezziwig alive again at one of his Christmas parties?
Yo-ho there, Ebenezer. And Dick, no more work tonight, Christmas Eve. Join in the festivities. Merry Christmas all. Come and dance. Hilly-ho. Hands up, half round and back again. Down the middle and up again. Round and round, advance and retire. Old top couple, start off again. Bow and back. New top couple, start off again. Advance and retire. Both hands to your partner. Bow and curtsy. Corkscrew, thread the needle and back again to your place. Well done, my friends. Well done.
You recognise yourself, Scrooge? A young man with a twinkle in your eye and the future before you. You're quite enjoying yourself.
Oh, it was a marvellous party, Scrooge, with cake and punch and cold roast and mince pies and plenty of beer. Look at old Fezziwig, how he dances. It's glorious, ho-ho. What a jolly time we used to have.
It was a small matter for old Fezziwig to make this silly folk so full of gratitude.
Small matter? Small indeed.
Spent only a few pounds of your mortal money, and look, is it so much that he deserves praise?
It isn't that. It isn't that at all, Spirit. Fezziwig has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune.
What? Is something bothering you, Scrooge?
No. I should like to say a word or two to my clerk, Bob Cratchit, just now.
Scrooge, my time grows short. Quick! Several years later.
Ah, Belle. As beautiful as ever.
A penniless girl who loved you, Scrooge.
And I, her. It didn't matter that she had no dowry. Oh, we were so happy together.
Until your career with Jacob Marley came between you. As you gained, so you lost. Do you see yourself, Scrooge? You're older now, a man in prime of life. Your face has begun to wear the signs of care. Your eyes are greedy, the eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No, spare me this, not this, Spirit. No!
This music box is a beautiful gift, Ebenezer, but I realise I matter little to you, very little. To protect yourself from a hard and cruel world, you have become hard and cruel in response. I have tried to cheer you and comfort you, but another idol has displayed me.
What idol could ever displace you, Belle?
You now worship a golden idol. I have seen your noble aspirations fall off one by one. Oh, Ebenezer, you have become another man.
I wanted security, success for you, Belle.
I seek tenderness, not riches. Therefore, even though it is Christmas, I release you from our engagement with a full heart for the love of him you once were.
No, Belle, don't.
Dear Ebenezer, may you be happy in the life you have chosen.
Belle, no. Spirit, show me no more. Why do you torture me? Remove me. I cannot bear it. Haunt me no longer. No longer.
Scrooge found himself, once more, alone, back upon his bed. He drifted off to sleep, only to be awakened again by the stroke of one. Scrooge gradually noticed a great blaze of ruddy light glowing from beneath the door. Something was in the outer room.
Come in, Ebenezer. Come in.
He opened the door and beheld his own sitting room transformed. The walls and ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked a perfect grove. Around the blazing fire lay feasts of meats and fruits of seething punch. And there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see. She bore a glowing torch shaped like a plenteous horn and held it up, high up, to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeping round the door.
come in, and know me better, man. I am the ghost of Christmas present. You've never seen the likes of me before.
Oh, Spirit, conduct me where you will. I went forth last night on compulsion, yet learned a lesson which is working even now. Tonight, if you've aught to teach me, let me profit by it.
Profit? Still, Scrooge? Well, then, touch my robe.
Thank you. And instantly, they were transported to the streets of London on a bright Christmas day. The shops were bustling with jolly people completing their errands or returning from church. The grocers and poultry and fruit shops all were busy, all a delight. Presently, Scrooge and the spirit came to Camden Town, to a humble house on a humble street.
This is the home of my clerk, Bob Cratchit, his wife and six children. Why are we here, spirit?
Can we do the knife and forks?
No, I'm doing the spoon.
No, I want to do
what it. What has ever got to your precious father then, and your brother, Tiny Tim?
Oh, but here, Martha, Mother. Hurrah!
Sorry I'm late, Mother. We'd had a deal of work to finish up late last night and to clear away this morning.
Well, never mind. So long as you are come. Sit you down by the fire, my dear, and have a warm. Lord bless you.
No, Father's coming. Hide, Martha, hide. Father. Hi, have you had a good day?
Ah, Peter, Belinda, Frederick, Harriet. Why? Where's our Martha?
Not coming.
She's not coming? She's not coming on Christmas Day.
Here I am, Father. Merry Christmas.
How did little Tim behave at church, Bob?
As good as gold, Mother. And better, eh, Tim?
They sang ever so nice, Mother. I hope the people saw me in church. Because I'm a cripple. It might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Bless you, my son. See, Mother, his heart is strong and he will get better. I know it.
Oh, let's play a game. Father, play the memory game with us. Please, please.
Yes, and then we'll sing some song and... Oh, look!
Oh, smell that goose! Hurrah! Look! Look! There was never such a goose! Never!
All right, be seated. Here you go. Take your turn now. There's plenty of bread and potatoes for all of you. Eat them first.
And later, plum pudding!
Ooh! Plum pudding!
Martha, dear, sit next to Tiny Tim and make sure he eats plenty. He must stay strong and well if anything should happen to...
Oh, Mother, don't even think that. I'll see that he eats well. Here, Tim.
How exciting.
It's Christmas dinner.
Quiet, please, quiet. Such a feast requires a Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone. Tell me, spirit. Tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat by the chimney and a crutch without an owner. Carefully preserved, if these shadows remain unaltered, by the future, the child will die.
Oh no, kind spirit, say he'll be spared.
Why, if he'd like to die, he'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
You use my own words against me?
Yes, perhaps in the future you will hold your tongue until you've discovered what the surplus population is and where it is. It may be that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit than millions, like this poor man's child.
Now the punch, steaming hot, take your turn, there's enough for a toast, and one after that.
Christmas. The toast so nice, oh my gosh.
A toast, a toast, a toast.
A toast, a toast, a toast to Christmas.
Here, I would like to propose a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast, to Mr. Scrooge.
Why him?
No, don't do that.
The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had Mr. Scrooge here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, it's Christmas Day.
Oh. I'll drink for his health, for your sake and the day's, not for his. Long life to him, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
Come, Ebenezer, to a gathering across town.
My nephew, Fred, his wife Helen, and their many hungry friends.
And many said Christmas was a humbug, as I lived, and he believed it too.
More the shame for him, Fred.
He's a comical old fellow, that's the truth, and not so pleasant as he might be. However, his offences carry their own punishment, and I have nothing to say against him.
I'm sure he is very rich, at least you always tell me so.
What of that, my dear wife? His wealth is of no use to him. He doesn't make himself comfortable with it.
I have no patience with him.
Well, I have. I am sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who suffers by his ill whims? Himself, always. I mean to give him the same chance every year, whether he likes it or...
Topper. Still playing blind man's buff?
Come now, Topper, my fellow. Helen's sister knows you're cheating. I think...
Oh, our furnishings.
Forfeit. Yes,
no. Wait, let's play the game of yes and no. Think of something, dear husband, and we have to find out what.
All right. Quick now, ask away.
Vegetable.
No.
Animal.
Yes.
A friendly animal.
No.
Disagreeable?
Yes.
Savage?
Yes.
Grunts, growls, talks?
Yes to both, sometimes.
Lives in London, in a menagerie?
Yes and no.
Across the street?
Oh, yes.
Horse?
No.
Then it's
no.
Tiger!
No.
A bear?
No, but almost.
I found it. I know who it is.
You do? What is it?
It's your uncle, Scrooge.
Yes. And he's given us plenty of merriment, I'm sure. So being grateful not to drink his health. Here is a glass of mulled wine, ready to our hand at the moment. So here, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man, whatever he is. He wouldn't take it from me, but he may have it just the same. To Uncle Scrooge.
To Uncle Scrooge.
Come, Ebenezer. There is much more to see. Men who keep Christmas in their hearts. Come.
Much they saw, and far they went, and many homes they visited, but always with a happy ending. The spirits stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful on foreign lands, and they were close at home. By poverty, and it was rich, in almshouse, hospitals and jails, in misery, every refuge. The spirit of Christmas left his blessing and taught Scrooge as he went. Presently, they returned to the streets of London for the spirit's final lesson, but the spirit has aged.
My life upon this globe is very brief. My time with you, Ebenezer, is almost done. Have you gained by what I have shown of you, of the good in most men's hearts?
I don't know. How can I promise? Perhaps I'm too old to change.
If 'tis too hard a lesson to learn, then look up upon these. Look here, under my robe.
What? Two frightful, hideous, miserable children? Yellow, meagre, scowling. Spirit, are they?
They are man's. This boy is ignorance. This girl is one. Beware them both in all of their degree. But most of all, beware this boy. For on his brow I see that's written, which is doom. Unless the writing be erased, without the spirit of Christmas to comfort them, narrow puritanism and greed would release these wretched beings upon the world.
But spirit, have they no refuge or resource?
Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons?
And with that, the ghost of Christmas Present dissolved into mist, and Scrooge stood alone upon the streets. As the last stroke of midnight rang, Scrooge remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and, lifting his eyes, he beheld the third spirit, a solemn phantom shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming, like a mist along the ground, towards him.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come? You are about to show me shadows of things that have not yet happened, but will happen. Spirit, will you not speak to me? Oh, ghost of the future, I fear you more than any spectre I've seen, but as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, lead on, the night is waning fast, and it's precious time to me. Lead on. Why, it's my accustomed corner at the Royal Exchange, among businessmen. Here are my fellow merchants, as I've seen them often.
I don't know much about it, either way. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
Well, Aldous Scratch has got his own at last, eh?
So I am told.
What has he done with his money?
His company, perhaps. He hasn't left it to me. That's all I know.
It's likely to be a very cheap funeral. Upon my life, I don't know if anybody's to go to it.
I don't mind going, if a lunch is provided.
Spirit, why show me this trivial conversation? They can't be discussing the death of my old partner, Jacob Marley. Is there some hidden purpose? Where is my own shadow? I expect the conduct of my future self to provide some latent moral for my own improvement. I have been resolving a change of life, Spirit. And I hope you can solve me my newborn resolutions being carried out here. Oh, what obscure part of town are we in now, Spirit? This whole quarter reeks with crime, with filth and misery. Why bring me to this low-brow beadling hovel? A rag and bottle shop? Who are these grotesque people?
Look here, old Joe. Let the charwoman be the first, let the laundress be second, and the undertaker's man be the last one you see.
Ah, then, what you got to sell, my dear? What have you got to sell?
Who's the worse for a loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose, eh?
No, indeed. If he wanted to keep him after he was dead, the wicked old screw, why wasn't he natural in his lifetime?
Mrs. Dilber.
Well, if he had been, he'd have had somebody to look after him when he was struck with death, instead of lying there, gasping out his last, alone, by himself. Tis true, Joe.
Tis the truest word ever was spoke. It's a judgment on him, is. What's this? Bed curtains?
Yes, bed curtains.
You don't mean to say he took them down, rings and all, with him lying there?
And why not? Don't drop that lamp soil upon the blankets now.
His blankets too?
And this fine shirt. It's the best he had. They'd have wasted it by dressing him up if it hadn't been for me.
Oh, Spirit, I see, I see. The case of this unhappy man might be my own. My life tends this way now. What is this? A bare, uncurtained bed? The shrouded body, the plundered, unknown man? He lay here, with no one to say he was kind to me. And for the memory of one kind word, I will be kind to him. Spirit, you point at the head of this corpse. Do you wish me to remove the cover? Spirit, this is a fearful place. In leaving it, I shall not leave its lesson. Trust me, let us go. I understand you, and I would do it if I could, but I have not the power, Spirit. I have not the power. No, oh, let me see some tenderness connected with a death. Well, this dark chamber will forever be present to me. Spirit, once more at the home of Bob Cratchit, but it is different, so quiet. What is this? Spirit, What kind of Christmas day is this?
Oh my God. And then he took a child and set it into the midst of them and answered,
I say unto you that none but those who are humble little children shall enter into heaven. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me.
Stop, Peter. Stop reading. Oh, my son. My son, Tiny Tim.
Mother, please don't cry. Father will be home soon. Don't let him know you've been crying.
He's late tonight, Martha. When he had Tiny Tim on his shoulder, he would walk very fast indeed. But the child was light to carry, and Father loved him, so it was no trouble, no trouble at all.
It's Father now.
Sorry, I'm late, Mother. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is, but you'll see it often, I promise. I promised him that we would walk there. I promised him we would walk there on Sundays.
Oh, Bob.
Little child, my little, little child.
Spectre, something informs me that our parting moment is at hand. Tell me, what man was that whom we saw lying dead? Spirit, where are we now? Merciful heaven! A dismal, ruinous churchyard? Desolate, lonely, crumbling graves? Here then is that wretched man. He lay underneath the ground, this grave. Before I draw nearer to that stone, tell me, Spirit, are these shadows of things that will be? Or are they shadows of things that may be only? Spirit, that tombstone, what is written upon it? Wait! The name on the grave is Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge! No! No! Spirit, why show me this when I am past all hope? Am I to become like Jacob Marley? Like the other cursed ghosts? Chained, wandering the earth? Forever? No! No! Spirit, hear me. I'm not the man I was. Tell me that I may change these dreadful shadows. I'll honour Christmas in my heart. I'll try and keep it in all the year. I'll live in the past, the present, and the future, and not shut out the lessons they teach. I pray, please, Spirit, let me sponge away the writing on this stone. I beg you. I'll change. I pray. I'll change. Please. I'll change. Why? What's this? My bedpost? I'm home! In my own bed! In my own room! Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven in the Christmas time be praised for this! I don't know what day of the month it is! I don't know how long I've been among the spirits! I don't know anything! Oh, I'm as light as a feather, as happy as an angel, as merry as a schoolboy, as giddy as a drunken man. Oh, glorious light, fresh air, the window. Why, merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
And a happy new year, sir.
Boy. What's today? What day is it, my fine fellow?
Today? Well, it's Christmas Day, sir.
Christmas Day? I've not missed it. The spirits have been rolling one night. Boy, do you know the poulterers in the street at the corner?
I should hope I did.
Do you know whether they sold the price tag that was hanging up there?
What? The one as big as me? Law, it's hanging there now.
Is it? Oh, well, go buy it.
Walker?
No, I am in earnest.
Scrooge sent the boy to buy the prize turkey and had it delivered to the Cratchit family as an anonymous gift. Then the new Ebenezer Scrooge dressed himself all in his best and got out into the streets of London. By this time, people were pouring forth and Scrooge regarded all with a delighted smile and hearty holiday greeting. By mere chance, Scrooge came upon the charity seekers he had dismissed yesterday. But today, he apologised and made a large donation to their worthy cause, with many back payments included. He went to the church, walked about the streets, watched the people hurrying to and fro. He patted children on the head, questioned beggars, and found that everything could yield him pleasure. He had never dreamed that any walk, that anything, could give him so much happiness. In the afternoon, Scrooge turned his steps to the door of his nephew, Fred, who was in the midst of Christmas dinner with his wife and their many hungry friends.
Ha! Uncle Ebenezer, why, I can't believe you're really here, at my home, on Christmas.
I come to beg your pardon, Fred, for the things I said about Christmas. That was a humbug.
Ha! Well, I don't know what to say. Do come in. Helen, look.
Who's that?
Well, may I present my wife, Helen.
Uncle Ebenezer, I never expected this of you.
Oh, Helen, so pleased to meet you. But can you forgive an old fool?
Of course, Uncle, of course.
Well, join the feast. Set another place at the table. Hear, hear, raise your glasses all. I propose a toast. A toast to Uncle Scrooge.
To Uncle Scrooge!
And so, Ebenezer Scrooge rejoined his family and rejoined the family of man. The next morning, Scrooge was early at the office. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming in late, that was the thing he had set his heart upon. And was Bob ever late? The clock had struck nine, no Bob. Quarter past, no Bob. Finally...
Mr. Cratchit, what do you mean by coming at this time of day?
I am very sorry, sir. I am behind my time. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Bob Cratchit, I'll not stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, I'm about to raise your salary.
Oh, please, sir. You're going to raise my salary? But, sir...
Wait. No, Bob. I've not lost my senses. I've come to them. A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas than I've given you for many a year. Yes, I'll raise your salary and endeavour to assist your struggling family. We'll discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. Bob Cratchit, Merry Christmas!
And Scrooge was better than his word. Became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he became a second father. And it was always said that Ebenezer Scrooge knew how to keep Christmas well. May that be truly said of us, all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim sagely observed,
God bless us, everyone!
Ladies and gentlemen, all through our holiday playhouse, not a creature is stirring that doesn't wish our radio audience a merry, merry Christmas. This goes for all of us, from our Walla Walla vocalisers.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
From our sound effects crew of joyful noisemakers. You get the idea. From our director and engineer.
Merry Christmas!
And from our wonderful cast,
Merry Christmas!
This story was adapted for radio and scored by Anthony E. Palmero. If our little production has provided you and your family with good cheer, then you only have to thank Charles Dickens, the founder of our feast in this tale for the ages, especially our own. And so, as Tiny Tim sagely observed,
God bless us, everyone!
This has been a very merry production of A Christmas Carol.